Hello and welcome to Pilot Season. Alan, the store doesn't make that hairspray anymore.
Those fools.
I'm Patrick Brogan, and alongside me is Alan Byrne, and today we are going to look at a thing with Adam West in it that isn't Batman, because that had more than one episode. It's Look Well. Alan Byrne, how are you? I've changed the intro this week because I just felt like it.
Everything's changed and it's awkward. Weird, scary. I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know how I am.
You don't know how you are. You should know.
I was flexible, but then you went and changed everything.
That's what you get for incessant cleaning when it's presented podcasts for 2 days.
I'm sorry. Try to do something nice for other people. You get punished by Patrick.
That's the way life is.
You appease Patrick or you get punished.
Yeah. Didn't you know?
Well, clearly I needed an update on that lesson.
Well, yes. And now it is time. Yeah, we are actually recording this. We're going to record this early because we're going to BroCon over the weekend. And we usually record on a Friday, which is when we're going to the con. So, you know, can't do both.
We could have recorded it on the bus, I suppose.
Yeah, but then there'd be no way of uploading it.
It would have been weird.
Or editing it.
Just stream of consciousness reviewing from a bus. Yeah. Oh, right. Yes. This is edited, guys. We edit this podcast.
Who's this we you're talking about? I edit this podcast.
And you get the good stuff.
Well, you get the reduced stuff. More or less. I'll probably not edit this one very much because I have no time. I've got lots of things to do. And editing takes a long time. And this has to be up tomorrow. So, Look Well, Adam, Alan, you, other person who is across this Skype chat from me.
Yes.
You know what it is, don't you?
Yes, Alan.
No, the show.
Oh, I know Look Well. Do you want me to explain Look Well? I can explain Look Well.
Explain Look Well.
Look Well, it was a pilot filmed in the early 90s starring Adam West, as we've already mentioned. It was written by a stalwart of TV, Conan O'Brien, and Robert Schmeigel, who's done other stuff, I suppose. He was on Saturday Night Live for a bit. It was produced by Lorne Michaels, the producer of Saturday Night Live, any spin-off movie of Saturday Night Live, and 30 Rock. Look Well is a show about Ty Look Well, who used to be a police detective called Bannigan. It's very important that you remember it's Bannigan. And now he spends his days wandering around L.A. trying to solve crimes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a very odd idea for a show.
Oh, actually, I just looked him up. Robert Schmeigel is the puppeteer and voice behind Triumph, the insult comic dog.
I don't know what that is.
It's a dog that Conan O'Brien sends to places to insult people.
Oh, I know what that is now. Yeah, I know what that is. And this was a show that was made in 1991. It's the only episode, so it perfectly fits into our remit of things that never really were that successful.
Apart from all those times we did things that turned out to be successful.
Yeah, like Super Pop. That was so successful. Interestingly enough, it was a personal favorite of NBC chairman Brandon Tartikoff, but it was never picked up. Ooh, don't know why it's spooky. But hey, it's a spooky, spooky story of a pilot season not being picked up.
Well, it was mainly because NBC went through a regime change. And as is so often the case in TV, anything the last guy did is crap.
So let's look at this thing that the last guy thought was crap, I guess.
But the last guy thought it was great. The new guy thought it was crap.
Whatever. Guys thought things. It was the past. Everyone thought things in the past. Don't make me get out a large book of history, Alan.
Okay. I won't.
Really a threat, I don't think. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Throw it at your microphone?
No, the microphone's expensive. You, however, are not.
Well, if you can throw it this far, I would be very impressed.
So would I. Anyway, Look Well. The intro is very quick and snappy and very much Adam West doing things, such as crossing the police line, looking, Picking out yellow shirts and pointing. It's action-packed.
It's got
Wouldn't you say?
sweet action saxophone.
Action phone. And it opens up with auditions for a Happy Days, the Next Generation show, where Adam West is dressed like Fonzie and insists the two actors around him refer to him as Buzz McCool. Bear in mind, Adam West is wearing a massively oversized Elvis wig for this. One of many costumes throughout the episode that he will wear.
That's how you know you're into a good thing here.
Adam West is wearing wigs.
Yep. That's all I
Okay.
want from shows.
Okay.
Just Adam West walk by in wigs.
The two actors keep confusing him for other old detective show actors or characters or both. Yes, and it's a running gag in the show where he has to keep reminding them that he was in Bannigan, not Mannix or other shows, which names I don't remember because I don't
There
really
was
know the show.
Bennigan, there was Brannigan. Apparently, there were a lot of cop shows of similar names.
Well, in the when the audition ends, he has very quickly changed back into his street clothes, which is like a sport coat and a polo neck and a slacks and typical sort of middle-aged guy who was a young man in the 70s type look, I guess. Washed-up actor kind of look, really. And they're talking to him about the character, the show, and he says, "Of course, we could have gone a fourth season, but I felt my character had said everything it felt it had to say." To which one of the actors replies, "How did the network feel?" And Lookwell responds, "The same." He's brought a very fancy car as well to the audition, and it's a rental. And this short intro should tell you everything you need to know about Ty Lookwell. He is a washed-up actor. He is
Very full of himself.
very full of himself, and he rents cars to go to auditions, and then tries to get a cheaper price on the car after he's used it by saying to the guy who owns the rental place that the indicator, I think, is it made a click-click sound.
And also, he only had the car for 1 hour and 45 minutes, so he shouldn't have to pay for the full 2 hours.
Exactly. It's at this point that Lookwell notices that there are two cops discussing a car theft with one of the employees of the rental place, and he walks over, says when they question and tell him to go away that "I don't think you understand. I used to play a detective." He quotes Shakespeare and leaves.
Yes, how oft the sight of means to do ill deeds makes ill deeds done, as the bard would say.
Shakespeare is very important to him because actors, of course. Then he returns home where he has a maid, I guess,
Yes.
who
A
tells
housekeeper of
him,
some sort.
a housekeeper of some sort, who tells him that the hairspray that he looks for doesn't exist anymore, and that his nephew is probably staying for a lot longer. And at this point, Lookwell checks his messages. His outgoing message is all about Ty Lookwell's acting school, if you want to contact Ty Lookwell, and then if you want to also contact his nephew. And all the messages are for his nephew.
Yes, his nephew is quite the star, actually, or pretty hot talent because he has messages from both Francis Ford Coppola's people, his agent talking about a Spielberg gig, and then Francis Ford Coppola himself rings.
And while Lookwell is listening to this, he gets an ice pop out of the fridge that also tightens your skin and proceeds to eat it while watching one of his old shows.
Because he doesn't have any calls to answer. Yeah, he goes over to a cabinet and says, "Time to watch some TV." Opens the cabinet, it's just full of tapes of Bannigan.
He watches his own show much like BoJack Horseman. Then we go to see his acting class, where he uses his own show as examples in his teaching. He has one scene. He's showing the one scene he's showing. He says, his lines had to show anger and triumph. Then tries to relate his character catching a pimp to King Lear.
Well, yeah, naturally, right?
Yeah,
Lear was all about the pimping and that he gets caught. I didn't do Lear in secondary school, but I'm pretty sure that's the plot.
Kind of in a very roundabout and abstract way. As he's talking about one of the actors that has done the scene, or was doing the scene, tells Lookwell that he was going to use a, something about his technique, or tells Lookwell that he's going about his technique, and then Lookwell goes on, looks off into the distance, and starts thinking about things because this reminds him of a car chase for some reason, and he says,
I
"He's
believe the
played."
trigger word was transport.
Yes,
He picks up
transport.
on one word that the his student there is saying that he's trying to transport what he's learned from the acting class into the character of Lear, into the whole Earl of Kent situation.
Yes.
And Lookwell just keeps repeating transport.
He explains away his his looking up into the distance and getting distracted by saying, "I used to play a detective. Mind can't help but make deductions." Which sends him over to the police station where he produces his Crime Stopper trophy, which
Yes,
is like encased in like plastic, or it's an encased the badge encased in like, I don't know,
glass
plastic
or
or
something,
glass or something, and he
and
puts like
he pulls it out of his jacket like a badge, slams it down on the desk. We're talking to the desk clerk, saying, "I'm an honorary crime fighter."
and at that point, the ex advisor on his show turns up and pulls Lookwell into the into his office to tell him that they don't he isn't really being needed around the police office for the police department. But Lookwell's having none of it because there's a car theft story and he did three episodes on this. And when they're trying to get rid of him then, and as he's leaving, he says, "Remember this, gentlemen. I have a lot of free time."
That is as threatening as you'd expect.
Yes. So this is wacky.
Oh, God, yes. We sh should probably point out at this point that Lookwell isn't a great detective. The
No.
lead he thinks he's gotten onto, that the cars are being transported outside the country, is clearly false because all the cars are imports.
Yes, exactly.
He even says the police should share this kind of these kind of nuggets with the honorary crime fighters. They're
Yeah,
keeping a bad loop, Patrick.
they're not informing Lookwell of any of the important police decisions, and he is an honorary crime stopper.
Damn bureaucracy.
It is kind of fun how just how deluded he is. It really does take the whole like notion of like a Jessica Fletcher or a Father Dowling or something like that.
Yeah, where you have civilian crime fighters.
Yeah, and they're only this time it's completely insane person.
This is how the police should treat Jessica Fletcher. I write crime novels, you know.
At this point, Alan got a phone
Oh
call,
yes,
which I
very
said I
good.
was going to leave in, but
Sorry,
that
Patrick, I'm
was a
getting a call.
lie because it was a really boring phone call. Use the promo code Alan's phone call on Squarespace to get 10% off the details of Alan's phone bill. Goodbye. That's all being left in.
That's going to be terrible podcast.
Oh,
Literally the worst.
no, it'll be gold. Like, it'll be better than cereal.
They don't want to hang out the dressing gowns?
Yes,
Find out later.
find out on the next episode of this show. Okay, back to the Lookwelling. Lookwell meets up with his acting class at a restaurant, talks about how the police are too proud to let him help. Deduces that the cars are probably being taken to an auto painting shop. So what he does is he dresses up like a 50s auto paint worker guy and goes to get a job at a car painting place.
He goes to the car painting place wearing painter's overalls.
Of course, there's a little bow tie and everything. Then the guys who run the place, because of the way Lookwell is talking to them, start to think that look, well, maybe gay.
Yes, if you have anything special for me to do, I can do that too.
And then which one of them replies, "Look, sir, we're not into that stuff." And look what replies, "That's not what I've heard." And the next scene, he has been beaten up.
How'd you get beaten up, Mr. Luckwell? Is the next line.
He does tell the class that he rummaged through their files and found nothing that would incriminate them. One of the other students, Ben, who seems to keep giving him reasons to flashback, mentioned in the class that he should demonstrate the transformation technique, which is, I think, what you were talking about earlier, which makes Luckwell decide that he has to go to the LA Grand Prix.
Yes, the trigger word in this case was fast. Fast race. Isn't there a race on this week? Yes, the LA Grand Prix is on. Of course.
And this is where Luckwell dresses as Dash Carlisle, champion race driver.
Dash Carlisle is a stereotypical 1920s auto motorist.
Complete with little white scarf and leather driving helmet and goggles.
Yes, this is the thing about Luckwell. His disguises are hilariously out of date.
He fools nobody.
Tell him I'm Dash Carlisle. You're not on the list, and there is no such person.
Of course, Luckwell then tries to climb over the fence to get into the Grand Prix and gets arrested.
Yeah, that's plan B, all right.
Pretty good plan B. And in prison, he starts teaching actors to, or teaching prisoners acting lessons, trust exercises with his sidekick student, Jason. Tells both of the prison inmates that they've got a real Forrest Tucker look about them. And so essentially, it is a dated reference.
Yes. He's a guy who was in movies.
He was a guy who was in movies, and he too who was a star in the 40s and fifties, and therefore it is a dated reference. And just like Luckwell is, when the police are complaining to or giving out to Luckwell for continue trying to solve this case, he insists on how seriously he takes his Crime Stoppers badge.
And also, there were two more robberies during the race, so the race can't have been had anything to do with this.
But Luckwell has some thinking to do because it's a very important moment in the plot where he's stuck on his case, so he goes to visit a statue of Shakespeare and talks to it and continues talking to it for seemingly a very long time about the entire case, which he has mostly made up in his head.
And he wheels out the same quote he did earlier. Completely out of context. How oft the sight of means to do ill deeds makes ill deeds done. I'm starting to think that that's the only piece of Shakespeare he can remember. Or he just
Or
really likes that line.
maybe it's the only bit of crime written in Shakespeare that he can remember or knows.
I'm sure there was something in Much Ado About Nothing. That's got cops in it.
Much ado about crime.
I think. I don't know Shakespeare.
You should.
I'm not an English student.
Always with the excuses, Alan.
Yep, that's what I'm for.
He decides that the cars aren't being stolen at all, and that Alberti, who owns the rental place, is the one behind the entire thing. So he decides to follow him. And turns up at a homeless benefit with one of his students, dressed as a stereotypical hobo from the 1920s, or 30s, or 40s, whichever decade, probably the 30s.
But yeah, he's got the bindle and everything. And keeps introducing himself to people.
Saying, "I have no home. The sidewalk is my home. Pay attention, pay no attention. I'm just a crazy old vagabond." And such
The
things.
sidewalk is my pillow. Also, the banner for the benefit for the homeless says, "They're everyone's problem."
Did notice that as well. So if you haven't gotten the gist of this by now, it's basically a crazy old man wandering around pretending that he is a crime fighter.
And sure that he's right. And apparently his entire class believe him.
Apparently they do because they're all in on the shenanigans. I don't really know. I can't see any other reason why they'd go along with it. They didn't believe him, because at one point one like they get arrested, and then pretty soon after this they end up in a car chase where the police are firing at them.
Yes, Luckwell interrogates Alberti. the owner of the rental place. Well, I say interrogates. He walks up to him and talks about how his car is missing. I bet you'll never see it again, or will you? Good job there.
That's some pretty good interrogating there, Mr. Lookwell. So he decides then there's the best thing to do would be to hide in the back seat of Alberti's car. So he goes and he throws his bindle into the back seat and he starts to get in when Alberti spies him trying to get into the car. So naturally, they steal the car and drive away. So we can have our third act car chase.
But yeah, it's a cop show.
Actually, when I think after he talks to Alberti in his interrogation, he does say that he tried to fool me, but he's no actor. And the car chase then takes off, and they are being chased by the police, who are shooting at them. Lookwell's response to this is to lean out the window and yell, "I'm not a car thief, I'm an actor."
So his plan is to lead the police back to Alberti's place, where they crash in through the and then they don't find any stolen cars.
No, and it turns out that the entire the car was actually being used in a sting operation, and Lookwell has ruined the entire thing. But coincidentally, he has actually led them to the other employee at the auto place, which was a man who was involved in the stealing of the cars.
Yes, the alarm didn't go off when Lookwell crashed through the gate, which the owner notices and starts asking his employee why it didn't happen. And it can't be faulty because it's brand new after the last thing was stolen. And it turns out it was an inside job all along. Hooray, Lookwell cracked the case.
Well, he didn't really crack the case.
He
He just
totally
thinks
cracked the case.
he's cracked the case. He was still convinced that Alberti had done this, and one of the cops tells the guy who was Lookwell's advisor on the show this exact thing. And his advisor guy is basically just sort of like he goes easy on him and lets him away with it. And of course, Lookwell, proud that he has solved a case or so he thinks, turns to them and says, "If you need me again, here's my headshot." Hands them a headshot and walks away.
A headshot of a clearly younger Adam West. Actually, during the whole bit where the actual crime is being solved, Lookwell is there in police custody, mumbling keywords every now and then. Like alarm system.
We didn't catch that part.
He's there pretending to solve the case so that he can rewrite it in his head and take credit for it then.
And the post credits, Lookwell is sitting on his couch watching his own show and eating one of his weird ice lollies.
Skin tightening ice pops.
Yes. And now a word from our sponsor, Skin Tightening Ice Pops.
Do you have skin? Is it too loose? Have you considered ice pops? Now I know what you're thinking. How does an ice pop contract the skin? Well, it's quite simple. You see, ice is larger before it melts, and the same principle happens to your skin. Eating the ice pop evaporates the ice and releases moisture into the air, and does the same through your skin. The ice goes through your cheeks, and when the water evaporates, it contracts the space that was left behind. That's science. That's science right there. Skin tightening ice pops.
Use the promo code LOOKWELL at every website to get 10% off your next purchase.
Just type it in anywhere. Google, just type in Lookwell, 10% off. Your next search is 10% off.
It's totally legitimate. I can see no reason why that wouldn't work. This show is very silly.
Oh, yes.
It's incredibly silly.
Delightfully silly, though. It's silly. It's delightfully silly in a way that Super Pop was just silly.
Yeah, and I don't know if I really like. It was really clever, but I can see why essentially Conan O'Brien didn't want to make any more because he used all his ideas. Like, there's nowhere to go, really.
It would be pretty formulaic, yes. But that's the thing about cop shows. They tend to be fairly, well, procedural.
True, but you can't really have a procedural comedy, straight up comedy in this sense, really.
It would have a law of diminishing returns on the jokes, yeah.
Even though it is a really good, it was really good. It was really clever. Adam West, if you've seen the 60s Batman, you've seen Adam West play stupid, really, really straight.
Adam West does not get enough credit for how much of a comedic genius he is.
He's so very good at just delivering ridiculous dialogue in a very,
Straight and believable way,
yeah,
but
or even.
also clearly funny.
Also, it was nice to see Adam West, doing something. Because I don't know who was doing very much in 1991. I can't think of anything he was.
This was definitely before the great Adam West resurgence.
Yeah.
Now and nowadays we get so much Adam West, and it's wonderful. Like him being mayor of Quahog is definitely the best thing about Family Guy.
Yeah, it's a low bar, but and that there's still that time that Adam West had a moose in his garden and named it Moose Wayne. I think it's one of the best things.
He also keeps getting voice acting jobs in Batman cartoons now. He was the mayor of Gotham City in The Batman, and he was Bruce Wayne's dad, Thomas, in an episode of Batman: The Brave and the Bold, which incidentally is the best Batman cartoon, and I will fight you.
You that is sacrilege, Alan Byrne. The best Batman cartoon, the best Batman cartoon is Batman the Animated Series, which had Adam West in it as well.
That's true. He was the Grey Ghost.
He was. That would not have been too long after this, actually.
But see, here's the thing about Batman the Brave and the Bold. He has a utility belt that turns into a sword.
I won't have that, Alan. I will not have sword wielding utility Batman. You go home with that. Go
I'm
home.
already home. I
Well, well
record
done.
these from home.
Well then, you've done your job.
I'm right
Well
here
done.
beside my Brave and the Bold Batman action figure. I'm going to pick it up. It's going to be in my hand for
By
the rest of the
8 years
episode.
old. Yes. Grown man with his toys.
No, I do like Batman the Animated Series a lot. I just enjoy the pure, wholehearted fun of Brave and the Bold.
If you've not gathered by now, Adam really likes Alan. I don't know why he's saying Adam instead of Alan. Alan likes wacky things.
Yes, by
He's a.
God, do I.
I really liked this, but I don't think I can say I loved it.
I see what you mean. It
Yeah.
it's very well done. It's clearly funny. But like you said, I don't see where it goes from this. Like Conan himself said that he used all his best material on this one, and yeah. You can't really go further than this.
It's essentially just a 20-minute or a 22-minute short, like, or a long sketch.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, both Conan and Robert Schmichael had just come off Saturday Night Live. So clearly they're sketch writers first and foremost. And yeah, sketches tend to be one and done. It's hard to come up with a sketch that has legs.
But as I think, like long form sketches go, this is a pretty good
Oh yeah,
one.
it's a masterpiece.
I just find it hard. I find it hard, though, if we're going to think about actually ranking it, how to rank it, because I don't like. I think Heat Vision and Jack still has it beaten.
Yes, Heat Vision and Jack could have gone anywhere.
Quite literally.
It was a road show. That's what they do. They go to another place where there is a wacky situation happening.
But then I'm looking down the list. I'm looking at the Coltons, the Cage, Payne, Tag Team, J.J. Godard. Probably gonna be top 10, I think,
Yeah.
by virtue of the fact that it is good, and it's better than Clarissa Now.
It certainly is. Clarissa
This
Now,
is
always the middle point.
quite literally, as this will be episode 24, and Clarissa Now is currently 12th. I'm looking up and down the list, and we have Clarissa Now, Red Dwarf, Coupling, Doctor Strange, Super Pup, X-Men, J.J. Doyle, Tag Team, Payne, The Cage, Coltons, and Heat Vision and Jack. I am not going to edit this very much, so enjoy these.
Okay, so I think whether or not making more episodes is a good idea, this deserved to go to series. And it was going to, up until the point where NBC had a change in management and the old guy's ideas were bad.
So it's like tag team, really.
Yeah, it's in exactly the same situation as Tag Team. To be honest, I would probably prefer to watch another episode of Tag Team over another episode of Look Well.
Yeah, that's
So
fair.
I think between Tag Team and J. Digger Doe is probably the place for Look Well.
I would say above J.J. Doyle, because J.J. Doyle, while I figure it would have legs, it just I wouldn't trust them to be good legs, considering it was built off the back of a mustache. Tom Selleck's mustache was a slightly better character than J.J. Doyle. Certainly had more agency.
Tom Selleck's mustache was the mustache of a generation, Patrick.
He has a mustache of a century.
So, in the number six spot, we will put Look Well.
We will, which actually drops the person now down to 13th.
Oh no! We're gonna have to watch
Now
something
the
bad to push it up.
midpoint is Red Dwarf, US.
That just seems wrong.
If you want to know what the middle of the pack looks like, it's look in the show notes, but I'll read it too. It's basically Clerks, the IT Crowd, US, Clarissa Now, Red Dwarf, Coupling, and Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is really falling down the list.
Yeah. Doctor Strange was that high for that long because it didn't have a lot to beat it. But
Yeah.
really, Doctor Strange was okay.
Yeah, that's about right. Far too long.
Yes, way too long. That was it, there wasn't enough there for a movie, and there was too much there for an opening pilot. But it could easily have been trimmed.
It could have been. If they got rid of the slow motion, it would have been much better. The top 10 then now looks like this, with Doctor Strange hanging out at number 10. At number 9, it's an infinitely more strange thing called The Adventures of Super Pup, which is just, if you like weird nonsense like Alan, you'll love it. At number 8, it's Pride of the X-Men, if you like the X-Men like Alan, and fast-paced plots, which are really fast-paced, you'll love it. J.J. Doyle, which we talked about already. Look what we talked about already. Tag Team, we talked about already, actually. Payne, we didn't talk about in this episode. And, but if you like Fawlty Towers, you might like this. The Cage, if you like Star Trek without Captain Kirk, you're strange. At number 2, The Coltons, which is, if you like MacGyver without MacGyver, you'll like this. And Heat Vision and Jack, if you like good pilots and everyone to series, you'll really like this and be sad, because we are every day. So, Alan, happy with that?
Yep. Let's talk about next week then, shall we?
Next week, we are hopefully going to get a chance to do a podcast over the weekend when we are away. We will be joined by Diamanda Hagen, who is a guest at BroCon, and we're going to look at the most recent pilot that we've ever actually attempted to cover on this
Yes, it's
show.
from this year.
It is The Man in the High Castle. It is based on the Philip K. Dick novel of the same name from 1962, and it was a pilot produced by Amazon Studios. So hopefully over the weekend we will be sitting down with D. Amanda Halligan to talk about The Man in the High Castle. And that will be next week's episode. Meanwhile, you have this week's episode, which is a strange, strange mess of things. And recorded on a Thursday, which feels really weird. I think it threw us off.
Everything is wrong.
Everything is wrong. Meanwhile, I said meanwhile a lot there. There's also a new video by me on the internet. In all your wonderful internet places. Well, it's not on Nerdvice yet. It'll be on Nerdvice by the. What?
Sorry?
I just heard the. So, did your OK Google just go off?
Maybe.
I just heard Kate Dick in a woman's voice.
Okay, that's weird. You shouldn't have heard that because it didn't go through the speaker.
I heard that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just making sure that's how it was pronounced.
Okay. Also, there was a new video by me this week on the Confederate flag. For me, the most important bits of it are the fact that I managed to figure out weird technical things that you guys don't care about, but I do. Also, it's on. By the time this goes up, it won't be on Nerdvice, but it will be later on the same day. We're doing things in advance is very confusing. See, we're in the past, you're in the future, but you're further into the future than we are into the past. It's all very confusing.
Getting very meta here, Patrick.
This has been another episode of Pilot Season, and it's been sort of the most, I guess, lackadaisical of the show we've done yet. I think it's because we're sort of trying to get it out of the way before we
No, we
go.
care about our listeners. This is a work of love and respect for you all.
Yes, we love and respect you all. Peace and love, peace and love. I'm Patrick Brogan, the Unemployed Historian. You can find me at theunemployedhistorian.com, at nerdvice.com, at facemonkeymafiastudios.com, at ortigomer.com, on Tumblr, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, and all those kinds of places where you people like to go and find things. And Alan, if people, for whatever reason, thought, I want to find Alan Byrne, who's not called Adam, despite the fact that you were calling him Adam earlier in the episode, you'd think I'd know. I've known him for 20 years. How would they find you, Alan?
Well, they could go to my Twitter, which is Alan Byrne, which is spelled Alanbeirne. I'm Alan Byrne on Tumblr, so it's alanbyrne.tumblr.com, or you can go to my website, which is albyrne.com, although it's wandering around the park talking to a statue of Shakespeare. I don't even know why our park has a statue of Shakespeare. It wasn't there yesterday.
I don't know, Alan, but I don't
What
know.
surface isn't?
Let's go investigate. Goodbye.
Bye.